This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rahmatin lil alameen. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those who follow His way with righteousness until the last day. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, we are just a few days away from the most blessed time of the year, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, Ramadan. And this really, you know, the month of Ramadan really shows us the difference between how Muslims approach this world compared to how the secular people approach this world. Because when people from a secular background see Ramadan and they see Muslims, they think that this must be a difficult month for us. They think we must hate Ramadan. You know, they think of it as an inconvenience to us, because their lifestyle revolves around following one's desires. And Ramadan is all about restricting your desires. So it comes across as an inconvenience. But to those of us who love Allah, to those of us who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those people who have taken their submission to Allah seriously, Ramadan is the single most beloved time of the year. Whether it is fasting, or praying Taraweeh, waking up for suhoor, having iftar with the family, these are amongst our favorite memories of our life. It's something we look forward to. Because our lives are such, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with this as Muslims, that we know our purpose in life. And our purpose in life is to worship Allah. Our purpose in life is to obey Allah. Our purpose in life is to pass the test. To pass the test of life and to get into paradise. And so we look forward to Ramadan, because Ramadan is an opportunity to help us accomplish our purpose. Ramadan is a month of worship. Ramadan is a time when the doors of Jannah are open. Ramadan is a time when our du'as are answered. It is an opportunity for us. It is not an inconvenience for us. And that is the mindset with which we must approach Ramadan. Now, what's beautiful about this month and about fasting itself and about Islam in general is that every aspect of our religion has a purpose. It has a goal. It has a wisdom. Now, this is important. This is a very important point. Sometimes we don't understand the wisdom. Sometimes we don't understand the wisdom. But it doesn't mean there isn't a wisdom. Rather, Allah, who is most wise, He revealed the law and He knows the wisdom. Okay, that's important. Because if somebody had to ask you, what is the wisdom of praying 3 rakats of Maghrib instead of 2? We don't really know. We pray 3 rakats because that's what Allah asked of us. But Allah knows why. There is definitely a wisdom there. But only Allah knows why. So when we look at the laws of Islam, we'll find that 90% of the laws of Islam, Allah has told us why. He has told us the wisdom behind it. And there's about 10% where Allah is testing whether we are going to follow Him, whether we understand the why or not. Right? So not everything has to make sense to you. If it comes from Allah, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey, whether we understand it or not. But Ramadan is one of those things where Allah has explained to us why. He explains to us why we fast. He explains to us the wisdom of Ramadan, the goals of Ramadan, the goals of fasting. All of this is explained in Surah Baqarah. In verses 183 to verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us the whys. So verse 183, alhamdulillah, I think most of us are familiar with it. Most of us understand it. In fact, I would say that many of us might have memorized it, because every year before Ramadan, the ulama mentioned this verse in their khutbahs. And they mention it for a reason. It's very important, right? What is that verse? Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala ladina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting is obligatory for you, like how it was obligated upon those before you. Why? Allah tells us why. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may gain taqwa. Now I want to talk about this for a while. I want this to be one of the main things we take home from today's presentation. What is taqwa? Why do we need taqwa? And how does Ramadan help us to gain taqwa? If we can understand those three things, then inshallah this Ramadan is going to be beneficial for us. So what is taqwa? Many of the English translations, they translate taqwa as fear of Allah. I believe this is a mistranslation. Right? There is another concept in the Quran, khashya. That refers to the fear of Allah. Taqwa is more comprehensive. Taqwa, it includes fear, but it includes love, it includes hope, it includes zikr. It's a much bigger concept. Right? It's not just referring to fear. It's much broader than that. The best translation for the word taqwa that I have found is God consciousness. To be conscious of Allah, to think about Allah, to live your life, you know, in a way that you know Allah is watching. To live your life with awareness of halal and haram. Because we know as Muslims, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget Allah is watching us. Sometimes we forget that certain things are haram. Sometimes we forget to do certain good deeds. Taqwa is that awareness at all times. So for example, if you are doing your business, and you are conscious about whether the business dealing is halal or haram, but whether the money you're earning is halal, that is taqwa. You are running your business with taqwa. Right? If you are a leader, and you are being just towards the people who are following you, because you know you'll be answerable to Allah on the day of judgment for how you treated your followers, that is taqwa. Right? Taqwa means to be conscious of Allah. And it's a very broad concept. Sometimes some of us think taqwa just refers to, you know, praying salah or fasting or dressing in a certain way. This is why I love the statement of the great queen of Islam, Fatima bint Abdul Malik, radiallahu anha, about her husband Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was one of the Umayyad kings, one of the first Muslim kings in the first dynasty, and he was regarded as the best of the Umayyad kings, right? I'm not sure how many of you are aware of his story. If you are not aware of his story, go home, research it, read a book on it, listen to a lecture about it. Very beautiful and inspiring story. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was regarded as the most pious of the Umayyad kings. And his wife Fatima, who was a princess, her father was a king, all four of her brothers were kings, and her husband was a king. Right? So she was, you know, one of the greatest queens of Islam. So she makes a very powerful statement about the husband. Before that, brothers, if any of y'all are parked, you know, where you're not supposed to be parked, please be careful, they're handing out tickets. So if you need to move your car, please go and do so now. You know, we don't want to go home with the wrong Jummah present. Right? Okay, so getting back to our topic, Fatima binti Abdul Malik, the queen of Islam, she said about her husband, she said, my husband never used to pray extra salah. He never used to fast outside of Ramadan. But I never met a man with more taqwa than him. Now this statement blew my mind because it taught me that taqwa is not only restricted to someone who fasts extra or someone who prays extra. What was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's taqwa? His taqwa was, he was the king of the Muslim world, the most powerful person on earth at that time. But he lived a simple life. He avoided any money he was doubtful about. And he tried to be just to every human and every animal within his kingdom. So he never used to pray tahajjud, according to his wife. He never used to fast outside of Ramadan. But she said he had more taqwa than anybody else. Why? Because of his justice. So understand, brothers and sisters, that taqwa can manifest itself in different ways. In how you run your business. In how you deal with your family. In how you treat those who you have authority over. All of this falls under taqwa. Right? And Allah allows different people to excel in different ways. Some people may be better at fasting outside of Ramadan. Some people may be able to pray tahajjud every night of their lives. Some people may be able to give charity every day of their lives. Each of us have different ways. But the point is, Ramadan is there to help us reach that level. Right? Ramadan is there to help us get from wherever we are to the next level. Because taqwa is not something that's stagnant. It's of different stages. Think about your own life. none of us can say that our iman stays at the same level all year round, right? I don't think anyone can say that. We have days, alhamdulillah, where we are full of motivation. We want to study Islam, we want to pray extra, we want to fast extra, especially during Ramadan, many of us get that feeling. And then we get days where we find it so hard to wake up for Salatul Fajr. Right? So what this shows is our taqwa is constantly going up and down. Right? It's increasing and it's decreasing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom, He knows that we need a yearly reminder about taqwa. We need a break from our dunya life to focus on improving our taqwa. And so Allah gives us these 29 days of the year where He locks the devils away, where He opens the gates of Jannah, and where He opens up every source of taqwa for us. So for 29 days we are involved in fasting, we are involved in reciting Quran, in praying Taraweeh, in making dua, in iftar, in charity, in all these good deeds. That is to supercharge our taqwa so we can take it to a higher level and hopefully maintain a high level for the whole next year, and in the next Ramadan take it even higher. And keep doing that for the rest of our lives until we pass away on a higher level of taqwa. So taqwa means to be conscious of Allah. It means to live your life in a way that you are aware of Allah at all times. I say this and not just fear of Allah, because firstly many of us misunderstand what is meant by fear of Allah. Right? We think fear of Allah means you must be scared of Allah, like how we're scared of a robber or we're scared of a lion. That's wrong. Fear of Allah, as explained by the ulama, means that you love Allah so much that you are afraid of disappointing or displeasing Him. That's fear of Allah. You love Allah so much that you fear disappointing Him by committing a sin. That is what is meant by fear of Allah. Right? So, many of us misunderstand what is the fear of Allah. Furthermore, many of us restrict taqwa to fear. But it's not so. Taqwa can be out of love. Taqwa can be out of hope for Allah's mercy. Taqwa can be simply out of dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Right? So there's many aspects to it. So for the first part we spoke about taqwa. What is taqwa? And we know the goal of Ramadan is to increase our taqwa. The second point, why do we need taqwa? Why? Because we can't pass the test of life without it. We can't get to Jannah without taqwa. Every description in the Quran of the people of Jannah, Allah does not say the Muslims. What does He say? He says the people of taqwa, the muttaqun. He says the mu'mini, the people of true faith, the people of taqwa, the muhsini, the people of ihsan. Meaning what? If you are a Muslim, inshallah you will enter Jannah eventually. But if you are a muttaqi, a person of taqwa, then you can skip Jahannam altogether and go straight to Jannah. So the way to skip Jahannam altogether and go straight to Jannah is to increase our taqwa. So why do we need taqwa? The first and most important reason why every human being needs to develop their taqwa is because it is the way to Jannah. The way to Jannah is through increasing your taqwa. Because think about it, when our taqwa is low, what happens? We commit sins. We ignore our good deeds. We fall into major blunders. When our taqwa is high, then we do more good deeds, right? We are more conscious of Allah. We increase our hasanat. So taqwa is necessary for Jannah. In this world, there are benefits to taqwa as well. Taqwa will save you from suicide, right? It will save you from suicidal thoughts because you are conscious of Allah. Your life is not focused on you, it's focused on Allah. It's focused on pleasing Allah. You are aware that Allah is there. Allah is there for you. Allah is going to help you with your problems. Allah is going to solve your problems. So it helps you to avoid these thoughts or at least fight them when they come. Right? Taqwa in this world helps you to overcome depression and anxiety. Right? Like many of us in South Africa, we have anxiety about crime. Right? We're terrified about crime. But what do we do? I know myself, whenever a scary thought comes to my mind about a crime happening, I say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Or I recite Ayatul Kursi, and it calms me down. The remembrance of Allah calms you down because you know Allah is taking care of you. Allah is protecting you. So taqwa helps to reduce our anxiety. It helps to reduce depression. It helps to bring us back up to a level where we can manage, where we can survive. Taqwa helps us to survive any test that life throws at us. Because when you are tested with difficulties, it is the consciousness of Allah that stops you from finding a haram way out of that difficulty. And when you are tested with wealth and abundance, it's the taqwa of Allah that stops you from abusing that wealth and abundance. So we need taqwa for every aspect of our lives. From our families, to our businesses, to dealing with the test of life, to our emotional and psychological problems, and most importantly, for developing our relationship with Allah and entering into paradise. So every human needs taqwa. And therefore every person needs to take Ramadan seriously. If we don't take Ramadan seriously, it comes and it goes and there's no change. And how many of us have experienced that? Ramadan comes, it goes, nothing, no change, we're still the same person. So what we need to do to increase our taqwa, is, and what I do personally is, every Ramadan, try to think of at least two things. At least two things you want to change in your life. At least one good deed you want to add to your life, and one sin you want to remove from your life. And spend that Ramadan working on those two things. Right? So for example, maybe you're not in the habit of reciting Quran every day. So say from this Ramadan onwards, I'm going to develop the habit of reciting Quran every day. And how do you make that work? Firstly, in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, most of us do recite Quran every day in Ramadan. The trick is after Ramadan is over and shaitan comes back out, to stick to it. To stick to it. Right? So it becomes a habit. The recitation of the Quran on a daily basis, that was a normal part of the lives of the Sahaba. They wouldn't go a day without reciting Quran. How many of us recite Quran on a daily basis? Right? So something like that, add a good deed to your life. The other one, remove a sin from your life. So maybe you are involved in interest-based banking. Or maybe you are looking at things you're not supposed to look at. Or maybe you have a bad habit of smoking, things which are bad for your body. Use Ramadan as an opportunity to cleanse yourself of that sin. And use it as an opportunity to make tawbah and repent from that sin and remove it from your life permanently. Not for 1 month, but permanently. Right? So if we choose just two things each Ramadan, it becomes realistic to work towards. But what happens to many of us, we are unrealistic in our Ramadan goals. What do we do? Many of us say, from this Ramadan onwards, I'm never committing a sin again for the rest of my life. Right? That's unrealistic. You are human. Right? There's not a single person alive today who can fulfill that goal. Only the Anbiya can fulfill that goal. Rather be realistic. Say, okay, I know this is a sinful habit I have. Let me get rid of this habit. That's realistic. That's something you can actually do. Right? Or some people, they will be unrealistic. They will say that from this Ramadan onwards, I will pray every salah of my life with perfect concentration. And by the first Taraweeh, by the 15th rakat, the concentration is gone. And no one can be perfect. So don't aim for perfection. Aim for being your best. Aim for being better than what you are now. If you are here, aim to be there. Don't think that I can reach from year to year in 1 month. It doesn't work like that. Baby steps. Be gradual in your development of your iman and your taqwa. So Ramadan is a month of developing our taqwa. We said today we're going to speak about three things. Number one, what is taqwa? Number two, why we need it? And number three, how to get it in Ramadan. Right? So for those who came late, we said that taqwa means to be conscious of Allah, to live our lives in a way that we remember Allah and live our lives in obedience to Allah. That is what taqwa is. Right? And secondly, we said we need taqwa in order to enter into Jannah, in order to enter paradise. Right? We need taqwa in order to protect ourselves from the traps and the tests and the difficulties of life. We need taqwa to protect ourselves from ourselves. If you know what I mean. We need taqwa to protect ourselves from ourselves. Meaning, to protect our souls from our own arrogance, our own egos, our own desires. Right? Taqwa is what stops all of that from coming out and taking over. And now we come to the final part of this discussion, which is how do you develop taqwa in Ramadan? I already gave one method, which is try to add one good deed to your daily habits and try to remove one sin from your life. Right? The second thing you can do in Ramadan to really improve your taqwa is to fast with purpose. Many of us, we fast as a ritual or habit. It just comes part of our life. We wake up, we go to work, we come home, we have iftar, you know, and we go about with no spiritual benefit coming out of it. Fast with purpose. Every day, renew your intention. Remind yourself why I am fasting. Remind yourself I am fasting for Allah to improve my taqwa. So you are fasting with a purpose. Wake up for suhoor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is barakah in the suhoor, in the early morning meal. Why do you want to miss out on the barakah? No, all of us are asking about where do we get barakah from. The Prophet is telling us in the suhoor there is barakah. Wake up for suhoor, you'll have barakah in your day. Right? So the second thing we can do is wake up for suhoor. Right? To get this feeling of fasting on purpose. Because what happens is, when we're not even waking up for suhoor, and we're not even waking up and renewing our intentions, and I'm talking about internally, because there is no verbal intentions according to the sunnah, right? But to wake up early in the morning to renew your intentions, to have suhoor, to sit and make dua at qiyamul layl time, you know, all of this helps you to fast on purpose, not fasting out of habit, right? The next thing you can do to fast on purpose is to control your tongue while fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who does not stay away from vulgar speech and bad actions, Allah does not need him to stay away from food and drink. Meaning, if you are staying away from food and drink while fasting, but while fasting you are swearing people, you are abusing people, you are backbiting, you are gossiping, there is no reward for that fast. That is a fast without reward. Because the whole purpose of fasting is to learn to control yourself. If you can control what goes into your mouth in terms of food and drink, you can control what comes out of your mouth in terms of words. So control your tongue. If you want the full reward of fasting, control your tongue in Ramadan. Don't utter a word that is displeasing to Allah. Don't utter a word that harms another human being. Learn to follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرْ أَوْ يَسْمُتْ. He speaks what is beneficial or he keeps quiet. That is the way of the believer, of the muttaqi. You speak what is beneficial or you stay silent. Learn to be like that. If we are like that while we are fasting, then we will increase in our taqwa. Why? Because while we are fasting, we are now conscious of Allah, not just in terms of eating and drinking, but even in terms of what we are saying. The next thing you can do to increase your consciousness of Allah in Ramadan is to recite Quran with understanding. Not just recite Quran ritually, but with understanding. If there is a tafsir halaqa at your local masjid, attend it. If there isn't any, then download some tafsir. Listen to some tafsir online. There's plenty of sources of tafsir by ulama available today. Right? We can't make the excuse that, oh, no one's teaching tafsir in my area. Alhamdulillah, go online. There is so much tafsir available for downloading by authentic scholars. Listen to the meanings. Read the translation. And when you read the translation, a warning, when you read the translation and you come across a difficult verse, don't make up your own interpretation for it. Ask our alim to clarify it for you. Right? Very dangerous trap of shaitan. That it makes us think that we can come up with our own interpretation of the Quran. No, you read the translation, you try your best to understand the Quran, but you understand that I have limitations in my knowledge, so that which I don't understand, I will ask the experts. Right? So recite Quran while fasting. After Fajr, after Asr, many of the sisters after Asr, they're busy in the kitchen. Try to get your kitchen work done earlier, so after Asr you can recite Quran and make dua instead. Because that's a blessed time. So the dua at the time of iftar is answered. So instead of rushing about in the kitchen, iftar time, sit and make dua. Even brothers, instead, iftar time is at peak hour this year, right? Many of us are going to be stuck in traffic. So instead of sitting in traffic and swearing the traffic in our minds, make dua while sitting in traffic. Make sure you have your dates and water in the car with you in case you don't get home in time. Right? Sit in traffic and make dua. Make dua for everybody else that's stuck in traffic. Make dua, Allah guides all of them to Islam and makes everybody good Muslims. Because it's the time when duas are answered. Right? So, take advantage of these times. Live a Ramadan of consciousness. And finally, the Taraweeh. The Taraweeh. Put all the debates aside. All the ikhtilaf aside. All the fighting aside. Taraweeh is about one thing. Actually, it's about two things. Number one, it's about connecting with Allah. Number two, it's about getting your sins forgiven. Why do I say this? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, whoever stands the nights of Ramadan in prayer, out of iman, out of hope in Allah's reward, will have all of their past sins forgiven. So that's why you pray Taraweeh. Right? Whichever opinion you are following, whatever the case may be, pray your Taraweeh for the sake of Allah. Pray for the sake of earning maghfirah from Allah. Which of us don't need forgiveness? We all have a lot of sins in this past year. So, here's an opportunity, right, to have those sins forgiven. Pray Taraweeh. But choose a masjid where they pray it properly. Because remember, if the imam is rushing through the salah, and he's not reciting with tajweed, and if you can't even understand what he's reciting, that is a mockery of the Quran. Right? And that's actually a sin. So pray Taraweeh at those masjids where they recite properly with tajweed. They can recite fast, right? But with tajweed, where you understand what they are reciting. That's most important. And then, before going for Taraweeh, open the translation, read a translation of some of the verses they're going to recite. So while they are praying the Taraweeh, if you find your attention is wandering, you know, start thinking about the translation and reflecting on the translation. So it helps you to stay in the salah, you know, instead of our mind going everywhere else, you know, to work and to tomorrow's suhoor and the next day's iftar, you know, focus on the translation. So before going to the masjid, read the translation. You know, if you know the first night they're reciting the first 1.5 juz, read the translation of some of those verses and think about that translation during the Taraweeh if you can't pay attention to what the imam is reciting. That is considered concentrating in your salah because you are reflecting on the meanings of what the imam is reciting. Right? So, make our Ramadan a Ramadan of Allah consciousness. And the way to do that is to understand the goals of Ramadan, to work towards it, and to do our ibadah on purpose. So this Ramadan, enter Ramadan with the goal in mind that I will leave Ramadan on a higher level of taqwa. And to do that, I am going to start doing this good deed. To do that, I'm going to stop doing this sin. To do that, I'm going to fast on purpose. I will wake up for suhoor. I will wake up for qiyamul layl. I will make dua in the early parts of the morning. I will make dua before maghrib salah. I will recite Quran. I will try my best to understand the Quran. I will pray my taraweeh. I will try my best to understand and concentrate in the taraweeh. And I hope that Allah will accept all of that from me and help me improve my taqwa through it. Enter Ramadan with that intention. And inshallah, your Ramadan will be transformative. Because that's what Ramadan is meant to be. It's meant to be a period of transformation. Where a person enters Ramadan on the wrong path. But they leave Ramadan, not just on the straight path, but way into the straight path. Right? This is why the Prophet ﷺ said that the doors of Jannah are open in Ramadan. Meaning, in Ramadan, there are so many ways to earn the forgiveness of Allah. In Ramadan, there are so many ways to find your way back to Allah. In Ramadan, there are so many ways to increase your taqwa. These are all the doors to Jannah. It's open in Ramadan. Take advantage of it. So my brothers and sisters, I hope, as we come to an end of this discussion, I hope that each of us will enter this upcoming Ramadan with purpose, with a pure intention, with a desire to increase our taqwa, with the hope of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will do our good deeds to the best of our ability. And that we will pray our Taraweeh and fast to the best of our ability. And because of that, I hope and I pray to Allah that He forgives each and every one of us for whatever sins we have committed in the past. And He makes this Ramadan a new beginning for us. A means of bringing us closer to Him, a means of improving our spirituality, a means of bringing us all, you know, closer towards Jannah, and a means of making us from those whom Allah loves. May Allah accept from us our ibadah and forgive us our sins. JazakAllah khairan wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.